Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Jewish Story, a Jewish history podcast for the 21st century. In this show, we'll take a look back at the history of the Jewish people, relying on historical documents, archaeologic artifacts, and linguistic data to paint a picture of the past. Season 4 is right around the corner, so I figured it was time for a bit of a recap of last season to prepare you all for what's to come. In episode 1 of season 3, we started by reviewing the history of the Roman Empire, and then watched it fracture into the Eastern Byzantine and Western Roman Empires during the Great Schism. We then met the Seljuk Turks, a Muslim tribe from Central Asia, who over the course of the 9th and 10th centuries amassed significant power in the Middle East. In the 1070s and 80s, we saw the Seljuks win two major victories over the Byzantines, conquering the city of Antioch and sending the Byzantines running to the Holy Roman Empire for help. This reunion of East and West culminated in the Council of Clermont in 1095, a meeting at which Pope Urban officially launched the First Crusade, a campaign of knights and commoners sent east to free Byzantine lands from Seljuk control. The crusade quickly got out of hand, and as the knights and commoners marched east towards Jerusalem, they terrorized and murdered any Muslims and Jews in their path. Hardest hit were the German cities of Speyer, Worms, and Mainz, in which we reviewed some of the horror stories that still survive from the period. But we also heard about those Jews who resisted Crusader violence, like the brave women who hurled stones instead of submitting. In 1099 CE, we watched as the Crusaders successfully captured Jerusalem from the Muslims, ending the First Crusade. Finally, we ended episode 1 by learning about the Rishonim, a group of prominent Ashkenazi Jewish thinkers who played a major role in writing some of the most authoritative commentaries on the Tanakh and Talmud. Chief among these was Rashi, who established his own Jewish learning institute in France in 1070, and wrote what is to this day the most famous commentary on the Torah. In episode 2, we saw the Crusaders establish a number of Christian states in their newly conquered territory, including the kingdoms of Jerusalem and Armenia, the Principality of Antioch, and the counties of Tripoli and Edessa. But following the Crusade, only a small number of knights were left in these lands to defend them, leaving them vulnerable to attack. In the year 1144, the Seljuks took advantage and conquered the county of Edessa, sparking a second crusade which ultimately was struck down. We then discussed the rise of Saladin and his uniting of the Muslim factions of the Middle East into a new superpower, the Ayyubid dynasty, which ultimately reconquered Jerusalem, Edessa, and Antioch from the Crusaders. Back in Europe, with a failing economy, huge class differences between rich and poor, religious fervor, and rampant disease, we watched a series of new anti-Jewish myths rapidly spread. These included the accusation of ritual murder, the myths of host desecration and the blood libel, and cults of boy martyrs, which led to a wave of riots and massacres against Jews across Europe. We ended episode 2 by meeting Maimonides, a man who would go on to become one of the most famous Jewish thinkers in history. Born in Cordoba, we followed him and his family as they fled the violent Almohades in Spain, first to Morocco, where Maimonides became learned in Torah and medicine, next to Israel, where his father passed away, and finally to Egypt, where he became the leader of the Jewish community and chief physician to the royal vizier. Along the way, we learned of some of his most famous works, including the Igeret Hashmad, the Guide to the Perplexed, and the Mishneh Torah. Finally, we touched on some of the controversy surrounding Maimonides' blending of Roman and Greek philosophy with Jewish tradition, a topic which we would explore further later in the season. In episode 3, we began by examining differences between Ashkenazi and Sephardic tradition and culture at the turn of the 13th century. We learned of the kahila structure that developed in Ashkenaz in the 12th century, wherein a community president and rabbi presided over a variety of subcommittees, which ensured the proper functioning of Jewish society. We took a cursory look at the role women played in the various Jewish communities, and examined laws and practices around sex and marriage. We then turned our attention to one of the most common professions of medieval Jews, moneylending, and discussed how Jews' history of exile and persecution, and their status as second-class citizens, made them the ideal moneylenders in Christian Europe. Lenders could expect minimal interest payments and reliable money transfers from Jews, while the Crown could easily extort them when they needed extra cash to fund a campaign. We then watched as Innocent III became Pope, consolidated a huge amount of political power in Europe, and, in 1215, convened the Fourth Lateran Council, wherein he launched a new crusade, formalized the idea of transubstantiation, initiated a campaign of aggressive conversion of Jews, and introduced a number of anti-Jewish laws, including forcing Jews to wear a special badge and hat called a Judenhut. In the wake of the Fourth Lateran Council, we saw anti-Semitism morph into something much more sinister and profane than it had before. Jews in medieval art began to take on grotesque features. Terrible images such as the Judensau were created, and Jews began to be thought of as children of the devil. At the same time, the anti-Jewish myths that had had their inception a century earlier began to run rampant, leading to thousands more Jewish deaths. Finally, we ended the episode by learning about the political unrest in England in the late 13th century, culminating in the Second Baronial War and the rise of King Edward I to power, who ultimately expelled all Jews from England in 1290 CE. In episode 4, we learned of the fierce division in Jewish society between supporters of the works of Maimonides and those who felt it to be blasphemous. An escalating conflict ensued, with anti-Maimonideans banning his books and pro-Maimonideans excommunicating his critics in retaliation. The feud reached a boiling point when French anti-Maimonideans informed local Franciscan friars of the conflict, and Nicholas Donen, a newly converted Christian and fierce anti-Semite, formally accused the Talmud of blasphemy before the Pope. We then witnessed the Disputation of Paris, a mock trial convened by the Pope in 1240 CE, during which local Jewish leaders were forced to defend their holy book before the church. The Talmud was ultimately found guilty, and a mass burning of more than 10,000 Talmudim was held in Paris. We next moved west to witness a second trial, the Disputation of Barcelona, where Nachmanides, the 70-year-old physician and Jewish scholar, faced off against Pablo Cristiani in defense of the Talmud. Nachmanides was eventually charged with blasphemy himself and forced to flee to Jerusalem, where he started his own yeshiva and ultimately died in 1270. Next, we briefly met the three main Jewish communities of India, the Bnei Israel, the Cochin Jews, and the Baghdadi Jews, before turning our attention back to the Iberian Peninsula. There, as the Reconquista was reaching its completion, Jews lived in relative peace and prosperity under Christian rule, until the mid-14th century, when an epidemic of the Black Death arrived in Iberia, and a Castilian civil war began, both of which the Jews were blamed for. The anti-Jewish violence reached a peak in the late 14th century, when the militant preacher Ferrand Martinez set out on an anti-Semitic preaching tour across the peninsula, ultimately stoking riots that led to thousands of Jewish deaths. In episode 5, we met the growing population of conversos, the Spanish Jews who had been forcibly converted to Christianity. In the late 14th century, we learned about how life for conversos was not so bad. They had the legal protections of true Christians, and many were still able to retain their Jewish traditions. But in the 15th century, we met Vincent Ferrer, a militant and much-feared Dominican friar, who traveled town to town with his lackeys, forcing Jews into churches to listen to him preach, and attempting to convert them. In the second decade of the 15th century, in the midst of a power vacuum in Aragon, Ferrer was chosen to be on a panel of judges who would elect the new king, and he championed a soldier named Ferdinand I to fill the role. In the meantime, Ferrer gained significant power and enacted a bunch of anti-Jewish laws, including banning them from most occupations, forcing them into ghettos, preventing Jews and Christians from interacting, and forcing Jews to wear an identifying badge when out in public. In 1450, we saw the first formal law passed in Iberia against conversos, the Limpieza de Sangre Law of Toledo, which banned anyone with Jewish blood from holding public office. After the Ottoman conquest of Constantinople triggered the launching of a new crusade in 1453, Alonso de Espina published his book, Fortalitum Fide, in which he advocated for a Spanish Inquisition to convert, kill, or banish all non-Christians from Spain. This idea quietly gained prominence until it was finally approved by the new monarchs Ferdinand and Isabella in 1478. We then explored the beginnings of the Inquisition in Seville, where the Inquisitors indiscriminately arrested suspected Jews, tortured them, jailed them, and starved them into confessions. They also created the public sentencing hearings, called auto-de-fés, at which suspected Judaizers were either publicly whipped or burned alive. But once the violence began to affect church leaders, Isabella and Ferdinand decided to tighten things up, and appointed Tomás de Torquemada, the militant Catholic and Isabella's closest mentor, as Grand Inquisitor. Torquemada published the Inquisitor's Code, which standardized the methods of the Inquisition, built new makeshift jails to offload the overflowing prisons, and expanded the Inquisition to include not just conversos, but also other enemies of the Church. By the year 1490, over 2,000 Jews had been murdered by the Inquisition, and many more converted. Finally, after the Christians successfully purged the Iberian Peninsula of the Muslims and completed the Reconquista, the conditions were right for Ferdinand and Isabella to expel all conversos and Jews from Spain in 1492. Altogether, 160,000 Jews were expelled, and the rest either converted or killed. And it is there, with the Jews having been expelled from Spain, France, and England, and the murderous Inquisition in full swing, that we will begin Season 4. Get ready to hear the story of an unlikely Jewish stranger who would go on to parlay with popes and kings, to meet the converso conquistadors, the Jewish women who attended the Ottoman Sultan, and the Jews of India, China, and Africa. And prepare to hear the miraculous tale of a Jewish woman who would go on to save thousands of Jewish lives. That's all coming up on Season 4 of The Jewish Story.